look, there's a human. He's weird. So am I. And I'm going to look out for him, right? So I'm going to take care of him. So when he's being an idiot, I'm going to tell him he's being an idiot, right? And I expect him to do the same for me.
And occasionally jump in and write next to be an idiot with you.
Amen.
Welcome to Christ in All Things, a conversation about meaning and purpose.
It's based on a verse from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Christ in All Things is a listening ear into conversations about receiving and giving the love and hope of Christ.
And these conversations are an invitation, because as much as you'll hear, and as much as we enjoy having them, digital media operates from a distance, and that's not what's best for us, with God or with one another.
So, thanks for listening. And if you're in the neighborhood, we invite you to participate in person in the life that finds its epicenter at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
This year, our overarching theme is on friendship, and it's been kind of my pleasure the last almost 3 years to watch these two, as I've told a number of people recently, and as when we started this season, we did a little presentation of a short story, which was somewhat reflective of my own experience. Like really a majority of Americans now, when I got married, I let all my old friends kind of fade away over the last 25 years. And, you know, that's my own loss and my own stupidity. It's been my joy to watch these two interact, and because friendship is important. And so I want to introduce Pastor Jason Shockman and his best buddy, Mark Treadray, who are going to talk to us about Christian friendship and cultivating Christian friendship. Please welcome Shockman and Treadray.
Wherever I go, you're gonna go, my buddy.
So, real quick, how many people are here just to enjoy beer on a Sunday night because you don't have to work tomorrow? And how many are like, why is this weird pastor here talking to me? Please get him out of here. How many did not know that this was happening tonight? Okay, fantastic. Welcome, everybody. Okay, this is super. You're all staying here.
No pressure.
Fantastic. Pastor Jason, how are we going to handle our little handouts?
I'm going to hand these out.
Okay, fantastic. So while Pastor Jason is handing those out, Chad, thank you for the information about the red ale. I assume those are all available in crawlers and growlers and howlers and cans and can be taken
not
to
cans.
Go. Is that right?
Not cans.
Yep, not cans. But definitely get your favorite to go. So our presentation tonight is called Bonfires, Brews, and Board Games. And you'll be surprised, you'll be shocked to learn that when Pastor Shockman and I were in college together, we had a few opportunities to share some beers together. Jason, what's the worst beer that you and I ever shared together? Think about that. Like, just to give you an idea, like I graduated from Concordia University in Chicago in 1998. And back then, I just remember that like Leinenkugels was like the...
Yeah, that was a thing.
Of,
that was like designer beer,
craft,
man.
Craft, small batch beer brewing. Like, we had no idea.
Liney's was like designer beer back in the day, right?
Wasn't there a beer at a Woodman's in, I don't know if it was Janesville or West Salem, we found it was like $2 for a case of beer.
Cool. K-U-L with an umlaut over the U. That was good for...
It was like 20 cents a can.
And it was about good for brats. That's it.
It was not that bad for 20 cents a beer. Like, it was...
It was good for cooking brats in.
It didn't make me want to throw up in my mouth.
That's true.
That's the best thing I could say about it.
That's the best thing
I'm looking forward
say.
To trying a Chatty O's.
Indeed.
Sorry, no, an O Chad's. A Mick Ostrom's.
Is that cereal or beer?
By the way, I grew up in Chicago. My family is Irish. My great-grandmother's name was Mary Ellen Finnegan. God rest her. I'm very much looking forward to trying an Irish red ale. Pastor Jason, how are you doing tonight?
I am here.
So we're here to talk about Christian friendship.
Right.
And I have heard now Pastor Lance like beat on himself 4 or 5 different times for thinking that he doesn't have any friends.
It's like he puts a T. It's like he puts a T in the ground and a ball on top of it and expects us not to take a swing.
The word on the street is that anybody who's new to Reformation Tap Society, Pastor Lance will buy you a beer. So I can't think of any way to make friends better than buying people beer. So
public service announcement, if it's your first time at Reformation Tap Society, your first beer is on him.
I'll take an Oak Chad's. All right, so I promise that we're not going to have any fun here tonight.
Right.
Now, Jason here is used to preaching, talking to you for 20 minutes. But I'm an English teacher, and we have block schedules, so I'm used to going on and putting high school juniors and seniors to sleep for an hour and 22 minutes. So I can guarantee we will not run out of material.
So if you think I'm a long-winded preacher...
Hey, this is my new best friend over here.
If you think I'm long-winded, I give you my best friend in the world, Mark.
Hey, here we go.
I'll jump in. As we talk about friendship and Christian friendship, you need to know that we are experts only insofar as we've made a friendship work since 1998.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll take it even a step further than that. I feel 100% fraudulent standing up here because my college roommate from 1998 texted me 2 months ago to tell me that his wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I immediately texted him back and said, "Gosh, buddy, let me call you. Let's catch up. I want to hear about what's going on." Have I talked to him in the last 2 months?
Nope.
No, I have not. Probably not. Oh boy, now I'm in trouble.
The question was, did you tell your wife that information? Probably not.
Another friend of mine, scout camp friend of mine from about the same time frame, and he and I had been good friends and keeping up a good relationship, I thought. And now I'm counting back and thinking, gosh, I haven't talked to Bill in a handful of years now, almost a decade. So it is funny how friendships have a tendency to come and go. So we do want to talk about this idea of starting friendships and maintaining friendships and sustaining, and especially this idea of moving from acquaintance to friendship. Now, I thought that this would be a great, because it's going to be my first TED Talk, basically. I get to lecture at you guys for 20 minutes. And then last night, Jason said to me, like, I don't want it to be like a TED Talk.
I crushed his hopes and dreams. Oh. It was great.
He says he wants it to be conversational. So apparently we're going to have a lot of back and forth here.
Right. I'll start with this. When we talk about friendship, it's really not like God has prepared for you in the world a soulmate friend. And you have to find that one or those two, and then it'll just work. Right? It doesn't work that way. Friendship is like, it's weird. It's like I picked a human and I
said, just do stuff with them.
Yep.
I like this one.
I like this one.
You're going to do stuff with them.
That'll do. We can do stuff together.
I think that's a quote attributed to Bill Murray. I don't know if he actually said that or not.
Correct
me if I'm wrong, Jason, but there are actually people all around you.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
welcome to being a human being.
And for someone like you,
yeah,
you look around a room like this and you see 80...
A friend I haven't met yet.
Potential friends, exactly. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about...
Okay, so I am not like Mark. I am an extrovert, right? I might be... If there's a scale for extrovert that has a limit at like 100, I might be an extrovert at like 105, right? I go to pay for my groceries, and I think the teller or the clerk at the grocery store could be a friend. I go to the gas station, and I see the same lady working at the gas station or the same gentleman behind the counter at the gas station every time I go in, and I think, hey, I could befriend Bill. I see him here every time I come into Quick Trip. He could be a friend of mine, right? Mark?
I went to a different church this morning. I sat in the balcony and I had to go home and take a 3-hour nap afterwards.
And yet there was 3-part harmony coming out of that balcony. So, thank you.
So the point is, you're gonna make, you've got people all around you and they can be friends. So Lance, it's not too late for you to make a friend. Okay, all right.
You had a little Christopher Walken on that, by the way.
Now I'm gonna try to do it on purpose and it's not gonna work.
I love messing with him.
So, yeah, you might not walk into Quick Trip and buy your morning cup of coffee and ask the lady behind the counter, how her son's college interview or job interview or how the baby's doing, because you've built that relationship with them. You might not be that kind of person, and that's okay. You might be the person who builds relationships slowly, one-on-one. That's fine, too. These people can be friends.
So if you're one of those people, though, that requires time and one-on-one attention in order to build that friendship, what are you going to... That's you.
No, I want my little...
Your little thing?
Yeah.
What are you going to have to put into it? You're gonna have to find a needed external structure.
Right, a reason for you to get together. And this could be lots of things. Parents, I think this is the big reason that we have things like MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers, right? You have other parents of kids your age that you can get together with. And this has got to be a reason that our families have combined kind of so easily together. Like, here are our oldest, and they're a year apart. And our middlest's are, well, my youngest and your middlest are a year apart. We have kids the same age.
And my littlest and your littlest are a year apart.
It works. So it works really well. Yep. Here is a peace in common that's kind of built in that we automatically have. Your coworkers, I'm not going to sit here and suggest that every single one of your coworkers becomes a friend, but here's this automatic built-in thing that you share with another person. An obvious thing that probably Pastor Lance and Jason want me to bring up is the fact that if you are going to church every week and you're sitting in Bible study, again, here is a whole covenant community of people who, God is literally calling you to reach out with and be in community with and be in fellowship with. And I would hope that that's one of the best parts about going to church is participating in fellowship. Yes, it's receiving word and sacrament and being forgiven for your sins. And
I mean, that's the best part.
All that other good stuff. Yada, yada, yada. Whatever. Pastor, something. I don't know. I didn't go to seminary.
So you teach English and?
Theology.
Right.
Old Testament.
Yeah, no, that was Burakowski. That was last month. So when it comes to these, when it comes to the network of people that you are surrounded by, from which you could choose one of those humans to be a friend, right? Know this. It's
a Mayor Lutheran High.
You need to focus on more than just the event, right? It can't be a focus that we work in the same place. By the way, we worked for campus security at Concordia University in River Forest. It's still in River Forest, damn it. Right? CURF.
So angry.
Now they call it Concordia University Chicago. I'm not bitter, maybe a little. Right? But so we worked together.
You're hardly Lutheran at all.
We worked together.
Don't like to change.
Don't go there. We worked together. We had zero classes together while we were there.
Yeah, we didn't live in the same dorm. We didn't
sing in the same choir.
We weren't in the same shows.
Nope. I wasn't in any shows.
We didn't even work the same shifts.
Except for one summer.
So
when it was literally six of us on staff for the entire summer with security.
So I guess the takeaway here is that this commonality this doesn't need to be anything that's anything profound, I guess is what I'm saying.
Right.
But that commonality and that proximity to another person is really only the first step. That only brings us to, I would say, the level of acquaintance.
Right.
And so the key here then, gosh, I sound like an expert, and again, I feel 100% fraudulent, is how to move from acquaintance to friendship.
I think the answer is probably what we see reflected in the opposite of Cain's answer in Genesis chapter 4. Right? God comes to Cain and says, Cain, where's your brother Abel? And Cain says, well, I don't know. Wasn't my day to watch him.
Am I my brother's keeper?
There it is. Am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is, yes. Yes, you are your brother's keeper.
100%.
Right? 100% of the time, you are your brother's keeper. And so part of moving from acquaintance into friendship is taking the responsibility to say, I am my brother's keeper. Look, there's a human. He's weird. So am I. And I'm going to look out for him. Right? So I'm going to take care of him. So when he's being an idiot, I'm going to tell him he's being an idiot. Right? And I expect him to do the same for me.
And occasionally jump in and right next to be an idiot with you.
Amen. We got lots of stories about that, most of which we will not share tonight.
I do remember like one, and I don't remember when this happened. We went to a Cubs-Twins game.
We did.
At the Metrodome.
We did.
And
it was terrible.
Were we living in Illinois at that point?
You were, yeah.
And
we were in the Twin. We were living in the Twin Cities.
That's right. You were DCE at yep. Redeemer Lutheran Church in Wayzata, and yep. We were down in Illinois, and the Cubs were playing the Twins, and so we came up to watch a Twins game, and I
you
didn't
mean watch a Cubs game.
Yeah, and I didn't have gas money to get home. I needed to borrow $20 from Jason to get home because our checking account was overdrawn. And that's a super embarrassing, awkward thing. And he didn't think twice about it. Maybe it was $50. Gas was cheaper then.
It was 20.
He didn't have a lot of money either. They don't pay DCEs very well.
But
little things like that.
That wasn't even a question, right? For me, that wasn't even a question because I'm my brother's keeper. So I just jumped in. Thank you, Megan.
So little gestures. Meeting the need, meeting your acquaintances where they're at. I think these eventually develop into friendship. But I also don't think that this is a thing that happens overnight, right? I left a teaching job, teaching sixth grade, where I'd been for 6 years previous, and had developed a lot of relationships. I was good friends with a lot of the teachers on staff there because my kids had gone to that school since they were 3 years old and because my wife has now been teaching there for 20 years. And I left those friendships and went to a new job and kind of expected that I'd be able to make those same connections at my new gig. And, you know, 6 months in, like, that hasn't happened yet.
Well, that's because he didn't bank on the introvert part kicking in.
Right. It probably would help if I would go eat lunch in the lunchroom instead of sitting in my classroom and just eating my lunch quietly. So why are you laughing at me? They're the cool kids, though. Okay. So that proximity
is important.
You need to be putting yourself out there a little bit.
But. While work friends are great, right? Work friends are great. If you want to move beyond acquaintance, you kind of have to find a way to connect with those people outside of your work environment as well.
Happy hour.
Happy hour is a great way to do it.
But again, keeping in mind,
is that how Dutch Armistice Day Nick came into the picture?
That's true. I have a former friend. And I'm not going to tell the whole story, but yeah, my friend Nick and I, it was co-worker and happy hours turned into, watching NCAA tournaments or whatever it is and hanging out and playoff games and going to the bar and
turned into Nick writing a Wikipedia page about the Dutch Armistice Day so he could get a national holiday and a day off of work.
No, that's not the story. Anyway, you're ruining the story.
And yet we call him Dutch Armistice Day.
He's my friend. Stop talking about him. But it doesn't automatically happen, I guess, is the point of this.
Love
right?
that word.
You're welcome.
Love that word, right? Mark is a linguist, an English teacher, so here's the word. It doesn't automagically happen. Friendship just doesn't go.
It does take work. It does take effort. How many married folks we got here? Okay, so I don't... Like, so I got to watch my turn of phrase here. Pastor, back to Pastor Donald, right? Don't sleep on the fact that you've got a friend in your wife. I didn't say don't sleep on your wife. That's not what I said. Your, and this is something that's taken me quite a bit of time to learn, is that my wife can be my best friend, my good friend. Jason, I think, has talked about his wife about in that way for a long, long time. Pastor Donald's sermon today talked about, and I don't know if this is actually where it sounded like the general satisfaction survey, where people are asked, this has been going on for 30, 40 years, people are asked, how satisfied are you with your life? You're either extremely satisfied, somewhat satisfied, or not at all satisfied. And the people who are the most satisfied with their lives are married people. And it's almost like the secret to happiness isn't to be wealthy. It isn't to find your perfect vocation. It isn't to find, isn't having children. It isn't having a big house. The secret to happiness seems to be getting married. And think about all the things, all the benefits that a marriage ought to kind of brings into your life, all the structure and form that it brings into your life. Here's someone who will make me go to the doctor if I'm sick. Here's somebody who will cook a meal for me. Here's somebody who will drive me home from the bar if I am overly intoxicated, right?
Isn't that why we have kids?
That's the long view, because it takes a long time for them to get to that point. Here's somebody who I can talk to about my work problems, about my questions, about my dreams, about my goals. I've got this built-in person who's always there that I can always talk to. And because it's marriage and it's this legal contract, it's this great structure. Well, friendship can be like that. Not that you should be sleeping with your friends. Okay, don't do that.
Stop.
We never slept in the same bed, but you did sleep over, like you did stay at my house
Dude,
a number of times.
I lived in your house for like 3 months. Your dog got to know that I was coming in, and Daisy was about a 90-pound Rottweiler. And she, yeah.
She was a and big girl.
Big girl. And she slept at the top of the, you walked in the door of the house on
it's
the first.
This weird split level thing where like the whole lower level was like basement, so you had to go up a whole flight of Hold on, do that again.
To be in the house, you had to go up the stairs to be in the house. And Daisy slept at the top of the stairs.
So I would never lock the door. So you just open the door.
Never had to.
And you just look up, and all you could see was his head about this big.
And she'd pick herself up and look down the stairs, and you'd hear her go.
And it, God help you, if you were wearing any kind of like a tool belt, if you were an electrician or a gas, someone to check the gas mains or the plumber or something.
Bad news.
I don't know what had happened. We adopted her. I don't know what happened to her in her past, but she would like go nuts when any kind of worker person came to the house. But Jason was okay.
But she, and it was kind of from day one, right? I walked in the door day one. Daisy's sitting at the top of the stairs, laying there at the top of the stairs, and she looked down the stairs at me and then put her head back on the floor. I guess I was okay in the house.
But going back to this idea of how friendship can be like marriage and how marriage is like a friendship, right? My friendship can end a lot easier maybe than my marriage can, because I don't have to legally get divorced from my friend or anything like that.
But if you're not actually communicating with your friend, like if you're not actually communicating with your spouse, what happens to that relationship rather quickly is the same thing that happens to your friendships rather quickly, right? So that communication is important, whether you're in proximity or not, and that takes effort.
It does, right. And I guess that's the whole point of this, right, is that marriage takes work. What joke did I make? The first 25 years of marriage are the hardest?
How many years you've been married?
24, almost there.
I was there.
Okay. First 25 years of marriage are the hardest. It takes effort. Again, I hate to use my favorite word too many times. It's going to get stale, but it doesn't automagically happen. So if you want to sustain a friendship, maybe it helps to think of it in that context of like sustaining a marriage.
Yeah, and there's not a magic pill for this, folks. On the handout that we gave you on the back of it, I want to point you to something here. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, sustaining all things, that Christ is sustaining all things by his powerful word. Christ is sustaining all things by his powerful word. Then Colossians 1:17, in him all things hold together. Right? As we talk about this communicating that we need to do, as we talk about whether it's with your wife or your husband or your friends, this communication is the key, knowing that it's not us who makes all this work, right? It doesn't automagically happen, and yes, you have to put in a little effort, more than maybe a little, but ultimately, it is God in Christ who holds you together.
And it's certainly easier when you are just... when you're thinking of another person's needs, like when you're just having that basic human empathy to give another person what they need. So the reason Jason was always hanging over at my house is because I happened to live fairly close to his fiance, and her parents were fairly traditional, and Jason was not just going to be sleeping over at Colette's house before they were married. So he needed a place to crash because he wasn't going to be driving all the way back to college.
It took me half as long to get from her parents' house to where Mark lived as it did for me to get from her parents' house to the university.
And I had a weird work schedule, and I wasn't married yet. And so I just had this kind of house I was rattling around. And so sure, yeah, I'll leave the door open. The dog is there. Security system built in. You need to get in. You know how to use a DirecTV, whatever.
Good times.
So that became sort of Jason's crash pad.
You got married.
And then we got married and you got married.
Yeah.
You moved to Minnesota. We moved to Minnesota.
We moved back to Wisconsin.
Right. As we were moving to Minnesota. So like, yes.
Oh yeah. You were moving to Minnesota as we moved to St. Louis.
Right.
Yeah.
How did we end up giving you our washer and dryer? How did
we took them? We took them to St. Louis.
Right, because you had...
Yeah. Because
we were moving into my mother-in-law's, and yep. So we didn't need him.
Yep.
And we're like, what are we going to do with this washer and dryer? Well, you were moving to seminary,
yep.
And you needed a washer and dryer,
right.
So we gave
so
you a
my father-in-law drove to Mark's house in Chicagoland and picked up the washer and dryer, and then my father-in-law helped us move from the Twin Cities down to St. Louis, so he just trucked the washer and dryer along,
and then
we ended up with Mark and
Chrissy's
washer and dryer
years.
In our apartment in St. Louis. From Chicago to the Twin Cities to St. Louis, just so we could have a washer
Sears
and dryer.
Sears Kenmore dryer.
Yep.
It
lasted a long time.
It was awesome.
It what? It died when we lived in West Salem. That's right. You learned to do the wash. What's that?
This is where friendship is. So
we're
the
getting nostalgic
pill,
about a dryer.
You wanted a right? Secret pill.
Here it is.
Transferable warranties, extended warranties on appliances. That's it.
That must be it. No, that's not it. So here's the thing, right? I said this before. I'll say it again. Really, it's only God in Christ. It's only his grace. It's only his forgiveness that makes this work.
For show notes and other information about Christ in All Things, visit ChristInAllThings.org. Comments may be emailed to comments@ChristInAllThings.org.
We're thankful to provide Christ in All Things to you as a gift.
But it's not free to produce and distribute.
So if you'd like to help us make Christ in All Things a self-supporting show and have a little fun in the process, please click the support page at christinallthings.org.
A donation of any kind gets you a dozen environmentally friendly Christ in All Things straws to share with your friends. Pastor Shockman loves these.
That is so not true. You love those way too much, and I still can't believe you bought them. A donation of $200 or more gets you some cheerful on-air clapping. And a pair of Wisconsin-made wigwam hiking socks.
A donation of $1,000 or more gets you thunderous on-air clapping. And a handmade Christ in All Things leather folio by the Murdy Creative Company.
If you want to donate more than that, well, fly us wherever you want and we will record Christ in All Things at your chosen location. Within reason, of course.
All post-production surplus supports youth ministry at St. Paul's. Thank you for your support.
Christ in All Things is a production of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. For more information about St. Paul's, visit splco.org, email us at info@splco.org, or the old-fashioned way, give us a call, 262-567-5001. Intro and outro music, setting by Joseph Hurl. Copyright 1998, Concordia Publishing House, used with permission.